Christian greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the pillar and ground of truth. We can be a part of his living body and know the joy and blessing of Christian fellowship as we can experience in the assembly of the saints. We bring Christian greetings to you from a small church at Deming, New Mexico, the Sunshine Congregation. Happy to testify to you that God is faithful to his promise that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And through a faithful brotherhood there, God's grace is effective in building his church there in that community, and the witness of truth is going forth. We have no greater joy than to see that our children walk in truth. What a joy it brings to us this evening to see the work of the church moving forward as it is in this experience this evening. That's a burden of my heart this evening, that there would be the legacy of faith lived through the fidelity to the fidelity to the ordinance of believers' baptism. I'm glad to see this evening that this group bears evidence of being multi-generational. That's scriptural. That proves that the work of God is moving ahead. When we see gray hairs, gray-headed men among us, younger men, those in the great challenges of raising their family in their teen years, and babies on their laps, and on through to seeing our children grow up in their adolescence and embrace a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I say it is so wonderful that we see this. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy 1. Passing on the faith through our fidelity to the ordinance of water baptism. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And I love this verse. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but was now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is saying here, young brethren, that you, having answered the call to follow Jesus Christ, that was a plan from before the foundation of the world and fulfilled through Jesus Christ. He has a plan for every one of your life and every one of our lives. But it's not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So passing on the faith is a tremendous challenge. It's so wonderful that these young brethren sitting here before us bear testimony to the fact there is faithful parents in this group. Where the truths of the word, they love the Lord, they love the truth, and they love the church, and they're passing that on as a conviction of their hearts. And that's translated down through the communication, like Philip Philemon said, that the communication of thy faith might be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we want to notice now the significance of believer's baptism. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. The significance of the believer's baptism is that you, by in faith and obedience to the command of God, have requested this and are willing to seal your commitment to Jesus Christ through water baptism. It's wonderful to see. Wonderful. What a joyous experience. The German says, that was an English rendering, the German says in 1 Peter 3:21, it is the covenant of a good conscience with God. I like that word, covenant. You are making a commitment. You are making a covenant. You are making a promise that is recorded in heaven, in the courts of heaven. And the God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Spirit is here present in this audience, bearing witness to your commitment and promises you're making this evening. So it's a sealing of the believer's present a personal covenant with God. The whole of the believer's life is to be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ in a covenant of discipleship entered through water baptism. You are saying by requesting and making this commitment that you are submitting yourself, the entirety of your life, to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's. You no longer have your ownership of, or I shouldn't put it that way, your self-will no longer reigns in the decisions you make. You're in submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that is that's not bondage, that's liberty. That's power. That's endued with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to fulfill that work and that calling all through your life. You have a passion for Christ. I say, have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like it says in 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith might, being more precious than gold that perisheth, might be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, though now ye see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Do you have that joy in your heart? Yes, amen, we do have that joy in our heart. It's a wonderful experience, a passion for Jesus Christ. Live according to the commandments, live according to the principles of the word. There is no salvation outside of the covenant, of this covenant. It's like Peter said on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've appreciated the legacy that's been passed down through time to us, the legacy that of faith, the fruit of our confession, the faith of our confession is manifest in the fruit of repentance. And we're going to look at that. The first baptism we want to look at, we're going to look at baptism. The term baptism in the scriptures is a comparative verb. So it symbolizes, there's an element that symbolizes a spiritual truth, part of our reflecting personal experience. So we want to look at the baptism of repentance. Romans chapter 6. Baptism of repentance and regeneration. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Notice, comparative verb. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And it goes on down in verse 9, death hath no more dominion over me. In verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. A death experience, life began at the foot of the cross. That's where life began. And it continues on all through life. That's why the apostle said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I am being present tense. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's ever present, present tense. So that's manifest. The fruit of repentance proves the faith of our confession. You think of the blessing of deliverance from sin. Do you recall that evening? You recall that day? I do. It's like Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you at the quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together, for by grace he's saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches in his grace through his kindness, and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace he's saved through faith, and that out of yourselves is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. Your life demonstrates the fruit of repentance by you living a life of a pattern of victory. You understand what I mean? A pattern of victory. Cycling, up and down, failure. No, that's Romans 7. Like one man told me, he was a Calvinistic concept, and we had a discussion, and they had just served communion in their church, and we were there to witness it, and later on we got in discussion, and he told me, we sin in thought, word, and deed every day. Do you? Does any of us? Is that our concept? We sin in thought, word, and deed every day? No, we don't. I went to Romans chapter 6. I was going to show him Romans chapter 6. And he batted my page. I was leaping through, and he went to Romans 7. I'd like to have shown him Romans 8. Romans 7 is a parenthesis between a life that's justified in Romans 5 to a life that's sanctified in Romans chapter 6. As we continue to yield to God, our members as instruments to God, there's three action verbs: know, reckon, yield. And as we do that, our sanctifying experience in our life. And then on to Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God, we know the victory that comes through. But it all starts at the foot of the cross. And there we need to continue on in that, having the cross applied to our life and experience. Another baptism that we experience as a result of the baptism of repentance is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, 17 to 20. The successive baptism, if you call that successive, it happens upon conversion. Acts chapter 2, 17 to 20. After Peter was preaching there on the day of Pentecost. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servant and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy and show wonders in the heaven above and in signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I love our mood. It's scriptural. It's right. It symbolizes this experience in the life of the believer. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual. I had a man, we were walking along the shores of Great Slave Lake up there, and he seen us there fishing, and he came walking over, and we got, and he said, he started to talk about Christian Businessmen Association. He was claimed to be a Christian, and so we got in discussion. And he was talking about all the great manifestations of power, of the evidence of the Holy Spirit in the sign gifts of the supernatural, sign gifts of the Spirit. And he went on to talk about demons shakarian and all these wonderful manifestations. I told him, I asked him the question, what is the greatest manifestation of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer? What is it? Life of obedience to the word, like the emphasis of our brother. Obedience to the word, the greatest manifestation of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't speak of himself. He speaks through this word, and it's in our obedience to the word of God that manifests the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. What a blessing. What a blessing. What an empowerment. If you experience that in your life. It's also a type of your baptism of the Holy Spirit, and by fire, typifies sanctification and work of sanctification and purification in the life of the believer. You can look at that in Romans chapter 6, how that takes place in our continued yieldedness to God. You know, We're diamonds in the rough, aren't we? Yeah, we are. But God, through his work of the Holy Spirit, He continues to sanctify the heart and bring his beauty of his work of grace in our hearts and lives as we continue to yield and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to purify and to cleanse and to continue on in that way. Water baptism, the whole of the believer's life is brought under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. W-H-O-L-E. The whole of the believer's life is brought into subjection to in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You have the blessing and privilege to honor Christ in the way you live. Life of obedience to his word. That's why the question is asked, do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of his Holy Spirit to submit yourselves to Christ and his word and to faithfully abide in the same until death? And you say, I do. It's a pledge of life of obedience to the word. That is fleshed out in your life by your subjection to the divine authority figures that are placed over you. And in your stage of life, young men, it is submission to your parents, their guidance, their direction that they give you in your Christian life, and that your submission, your willingness and submission to that. Just a yieldedness to that Holy Spirit direction through them and the communication of their faith through in and through you. So the fruit is manifest in your lives. In this, it's fleshed out when it says, like in Titus 2:6, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he's of the contrary part may have no evil thing to say of you. An exemplary life of victory in Christ Jesus, beautifully manifest in our youth that are demonstrating a pattern of victory. Beautifully manifest. Know your Bible. Know your Bible. Feed on the Word every day. Have it bless your soul through the work of the Holy Spirit. I know your devotional. Do you have personal devotional life? You better. It's a matter of life or death. I was struggling with my personal devotional life one time, and Brother David Burkholder was preaching, and he preached a message later. I felt condemned. I was struggling. I came up to him and said, "Dave, Brother David, I just feel like I just don't have a sense of, shouldn't there be a sense, more of a sense of spontaneity to your devotional life, that you have a hunger?" Well, he said, "It's sort of like this." He said, "I didn't feel no more like preaching tonight than anything. But I entered into it with deliberation, and the inspiration came." Is that the way it is? That is the way it is. God is faithful. Enter into it with deliberation, and the inspiration will come. Give yourself wholly to it. Study. Know the word. Meditate upon it. Memorize. You know, and Merle, Ruth told me one time after he'd preached a message, or he was preaching a series of messages there in Alberta, and I took him out to the Hutterite, to visit the Hutterites. He wanted to go see them, Hutterite colony. On our way out there, asked him, "Brother Merle, what source of reference do you use, you know, in order to, for your message content?" You know what he told me? "I milk my own cow, I churn my own butter." Good answer. Do that. It is a matter of personal experience where you dig into the word, you young men. You are sound in doctrine. You understand from the word Just, yes, the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of adoption, the doctrine of glorification. Study it. It is live, it's powerful. In doctrine showing uncorruptness, sincerity, gravity, sound speech. Know your Bible. 1 Timothy also says that you will have a Holy Spirit-controlled disposition. You have experienced a dispositional transformation. I'm glad I got that word right, because I said that word once, and Brother Steve Ebersole was there, and he said, I thought you were saying dispensational. No, dispositional transformation. That means the Holy Spirit controls your disposition, and it's manifest in how you relate to your family, you relate to your father and mother, you relate to in school, you relate to your provoking, frustrating children at home, siblings at home. Yeah, you manifest Christian graces, which are put on therefore as the elect God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Charity is a bond of perfectness. You are baptized, or 1 Timothy 4:12 said, let no man despise the youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, that means your conduct, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Next we want to look at, you are baptized, remember it's a imperative verb, you are baptized into one body. Ephesians 4, 1. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. 1 Corinthians 12. And enumerates the gifts of the Spirit. Or the gifts given to the body. Verse 13. For by one Spirit are ye all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit. You are baptized into one body. It's a beautiful experience that you, through the first baptism, regeneration, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now you're baptized into one body, the church of the living God that is represented in a local body of believers. And the blessing that is. And God is a sovereign donor of spiritual gifts. He gives to every man severally as he will. So he's going to give you gifts. You. Exercise that gift in your youth. Do. If you're asked to lead singing, lead singing. You're asked to pray. You're asked to witness to someone. It's the gift that God has given you. Specific gifts for the edification of the body. Enter into that work and ministry as God opens the doors. And what a blessing that is as you experience after that tonight, through water baptism, you're brought into in membership into this body in your youth. And the blessing that is as you exercise them gifts and develop them gifts. God is faithful in making that abound in your life through his work of grace in your heart. New Testament denationalizes Old Testament prophecies and sees them fulfilled in Christ Jesus through the church. That's true. That's why I say you're baptized into one body, Jew or Gentile, bond or free. He denationalizes and brings you into one body. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you're brought into one body of fellowship. I love Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all holiness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For as one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Baptized into one body, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Beautiful picture. That we know and experience. Praise the Lord for it. Baptism of suffering. Should we talk about this here in 2025? Baptism of suffering. Yes, it's part of Christian experience. You are making a pledge tonight by water baptism to be faithful until death. Until death, regardless of the circumstances you face. Like I say, fidelity, passing on the faith through fidelity to your baptismal vow until death. Philippians 1:20 said, Paul said, according to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Do you believe it? Yes. Baptism of suffering. But that pledge of commitment to be faithful and Christ magnified in our body until death. Oswald Chambers said, no healthy Christian ever chooses suffering, but he chooses God's will. And if that brings suffering, may the Lord will of God be done. We will. The greatest expression of love for Christ, even as it was manifest in Christ's life, is expressed in the crucible of suffering. There when he poured out his heart in prayer unto God in the Garden of Gethsemane. There as he hung upon the cross of Calvary, a wounded, stricken, bruised body, the crucible of suffering expressed the love of Christ. And he calls us to manifest the same. Is it too great a call? He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? And he went right to the cross. So as you can move on in your Christian life and experience, and whatever the Lord brings to you in your life and experience, it's a pledge to faithfulness and fidelity to these vows that you are making before God and are recorded in heaven. My heart bleeds for the loss of faith that we see today. It was in a funeral assembly a while back. I thought we were attending a funeral where they, you know, rented a community church, so there was community people there, and because you see no evidence of nonconformity, a very little evidence of nonconformity. There was cut hair, there was jewelry, there was the women had wore tight clothes, they were immodest, and the beat of the service was a beat in the background, and they were showing a celebration of life. You know, there was anything but what it should be. My heart bled as I realized, from the prophet unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For the heel of the herd of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Brethren, young people, stand true to your vows before God. Stand and be a men of faith. Just like it says in Hebrews 12, time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samuel and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and when they received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more were bonds and imprisonment. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, God having provided a better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, laying aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset you, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will keep you faithful through the trials of life. Never limit. Can you limit the power of God in your life by your lack of faith and obedience? Yes, you can. Psalm 78 talks about that limiting. They limited the Holy One of Israel. No, live a life of faith and obedience to the commandments of God, and God will richly bless you. In summary, we hear that divine benediction upon this audience of brethren. May it ring in our ears. May we draw from the resource of divine grace every day. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God. I'm saying that now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. I'm missing a phrase in there. To him be glory and dominion. To him and to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. We have that divine benediction. We can claim that divine power. God is immutable in his promise. He will fulfill it. Be faithful unto death, and God will give you the crown of life. I just like the words of a song. It's written by Philip Doddridge. Back in, and it draws us all into the spirit of joy and blessing that we realize through times like this where there is vows made before God by water baptism. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. O happy bond that seals my vows to him who merits all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill this house while to that sacred shrine I move. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess his voice divine. Now rest my long divided heart, fixed on this blissful, centered rest. Nor ever from thy Lord depart, with him of every good possessed. High heaven that heard that solemn vow, that vow renewed shall daily hear, till in life's latest hour I bow, and bless in death a bond so dear.